Welcome to Cheers to Homeownership.
Cheers, guys.
This is Amy Trim. I'm a loan officer and licensed in Washington State.
And I'm Kathleen Facey. I'm a real estate broker also in Washington State.
And this podcast is really everything to do with homeownership, from buying, selling, and refinancing, but also all the aspects that goes into owning a home. We interview all of the professionals that are involved in all those aspects to owning a home. Kathleen and I have been teaching homebuyer classes together for almost 9 years now. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Wow. It's crazy.
Our classes cover the 23 benchmarks that go into buying a home. Even though this podcast allows us to dive deeper into all aspects of homeownership, not just buying, we are covering an aspect of buying. What are we covering today, Kathleen?
We're going over how much time it takes to buy a home and our tips on each step. So we're going to talk about timing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So really the first step is the pre-approval and home search process, which everybody is so different. I mean, we're all on the same journey to homeownership, but our path, you know, kind of looks a little different.
Yeah.
It can take anywhere from days, weeks, months, or even years because everybody is unique. I always like to say, you know, everything is, you know, buying a home and a loan are like an elaborate puzzle. And so we have to fit all the pieces of the puzzle together in order for you to get a loan to be able to buy a home. And that process looks different. So when your neighbor or your coworker or your Uncle Joe, you know, tells you some advice, I always tell people, wow, you're really lucky. Take that
absolutely
from a positive place, right? Because they're trying to help. They care.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, they don't know your credit score.
Situation. Yeah.
They don't know all the pieces of the puzzle.
They can be in a totally different circumstance than you, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So let's talk about the timing for pre-approval first. You know, that really can range. Sometimes people are put on plans first. I like to call them prescriptions so that they can follow exactly along to get to the point where then they can be pre-approved.
Because what is it you say, Amy?
Oh, it's not a no, it's a when.
Absolutely.
So when can you get pre-approved? Well, that's when the loan officer has both pulled credit and looked at all of your numbers. So we've collected your pay stubs, your W-2s, your bank statements, and we've verified employment and income. So as far as the home search
The home search, you know, it also is like you said, everybody's different. Mm-hmm. So it's going to depend on what you're looking for as a home buyer. It's going to depend on how easy we can find what you're looking for. If you're super picky, that's okay. I mean, it's really okay. It's just then you want to stick to your guns, because if that's what you want and it's realistic, then we need to find that for you. Sometimes that can take a little more time.
So right? A little patience.
Yeah, patience is really important. It also depends on if you're going to be very competitive. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can be really aggressive with your offer right now, it's a seller's market and you're going to be competing against multiple probably offers. And so how competitive can you be? And if you can't, it's really okay. Just know that it might take a little more time, but we will get you what you need.
Absolutely. So that pre-approval process and the home search process can take a while. And the home search involves not just searching for the home, but you make offers on the home and prepare the contract, right?
Absolutely, right? And so it also depends on how unique your offer is. Not only what type of loan program you're doing,
right?
Because a seller does care in some cases what loan program you're doing. It could depend on how much you're putting down, how the rest of your offer looks. And sometimes if it's more unique, let's say you have to sell a home before you can absolutely purchase this home. Mm-hmm. So that's a contingent offer.
Right.
That could be a little different too. That's not unique, but it can be different than some of the other offers. So it just really depends on the whole package.
The picture.
The picture.
So when you're preparing the contract, I'm sure you have a dozen questions at a minimum
right
for your clients. What about, you know, life. They have other plans when you're going to prepare the contract and they're...
Oh, Amy, you are talking my language. You know, it's super important that we're always communicating with our clients. Amy, you know that too. Mm-hmm. And when we're getting ready to write an offer, well, and even while we're searching for homes, it's really important that we're talking about you, talking with you about what you have coming up. So let's say you have a vacation planned, or you have some time where you're going to be working out of state or out of the area. We need to know that. So when we're writing your offer, we know what to expect and how to make sure that, you see, there's timelines in the contract. There's dates that have to be met for certain things. And we want to make sure that you can be here and those timelines can be met so we don't breach contract. Now, most everything, don't worry, most everything can be done electronically. And if we know your schedule, we can also even ship you things, even if you're going to be out of country. We've worked with people, you know, yeah. I closed for a buyer that was in the Philippines.
Right.
And so we just had to ship everything to them. It took a few more days, but we can make that happen.
That's right. I think it was last May, we had a client who was purchasing their second home, and their dad was also purchasing with them. Remember, he was moving up from Oregon.
Oh, that's right.
And so we had to set up two signing appointments,
right. Yeah.
And warn, you know, everybody involved, not warn, but, you know, well, prepare.
Set everyone up. Yeah.
Yep.
Set everyone up for success.
Because it takes a few extra days and a little bit more coordination when you're preparing the contract. Definitely you need to do that communication. So let's talk about once the contract and the offer is accepted.
Okay. So we're talking from mutual to keys. You know, most lenders on average are going to take about 30 days for closing. Not Amy, though. No.
No. You know, some lenders are faster than others. Some,
right.
Some are slow as snails. Every mm-hmm. loan company, mortgage company is different on what we call turn times. That's inside, you know, industry lingo used to say, how long does it take to close a loan? Now, I've closed a loan in as little as 10 days.
Yeah.
And
Amy was real happy with me with that one.
Oh, no, yes.
It was fine.
We got it done, and we needed to be competitive in that situation in order to get the offer accepted. So we made it happen. But, you know, it's an average of 30 because some lenders, they take 45, 60 days to close. And, you know, so it really matters.
There's circumstances sometimes where you have to do that. If you're doing a contingent offer, that buyer, remember, has to sell that mm-hmm. current home they're in order to buy the new home.
Correct.
And sometimes that takes a little bit. And then once that's done, then we can close. So it could take a little longer. You've got all these different
aspects,
things going on, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts to not only preparing the contract, but the aspects of the transaction.
Right, Amy. And you know what I think we should explain, though, is I said mutual to keys. What does mutual mean?
Ooh, right? That means that seller and that buyer have agreed to the terms of the sale.
That's right. So we're now legally in contract and moving forward. You know, once under contract, first 5 days are super busy. They're super busy. We're having you sign, we call it Authentisign, others call it e-signing, but we're having you sign the contract addendums. Sometimes we're having to change some of those to be more competitive or what it might be. We're turning in the earnest money. And then we're also then getting ready to do inspection. And that inspection can take, I'm going to take a step back. Earnest money.
Yes.
Earnest money is typically 1% mm-hmm. of the purchase price.
Which we talked about on our previous episode.
And so we've got the earnest money. And in the contract, we write how long it's going to take for you as the buyer to wire or deposit the earnest money. It's typically 48 hours. We can do up to 4 to 7 days, depending on if the money's coming from mutual funds or something like that, or 401k or something like that. But it's typically 48 hours. Then we have the inspection. Now, the inspection can take up to 10 days, but in a competitive market like we're in, mm-hmm. we're usually trying to make sure to wrap up that inspection within a shorter time frame. So sometimes we're doing like a 3-day
Wow.
Yeah. Of course, it takes a lot of coordinating, making sure the inspector is available within that time frame, right? Yes. And that the buyers can be there, making sure that the buyers know that we're going to need them all hands on deck.
Yes.
So that if there's questions or if we're going to need to respond, that we're doing that within that 3 days because we have to wrap it up.
That's right. And at the same time, I need you to, as a buyer, to do a couple things for me, like electronically sign or e-sign your initial disclosure package. So like she said, that first 5 days is super busy. And that also includes once you've, you know, cleared that inspection, I need to order the appraisal to confirm the value of the property you're purchasing. So man, that really is a really busy time, but then
so we're like, hurry up, then wait.
And now wait. Yes. So why do they sit around and wait?
Well, you know, Amy, because a lot of it now is in your capable hands. So what's happening is we've gone through inspection, and now it's the lender wrapping up things. Why don't you explain that?
Sure. So
it's not really wrapping it up. You're
processing it. Yeah. Yes. We're processing the transaction. There's a lot of behind the scenes, activity that's going on with all the professionals that are helping you, in buying the home. And so that takes a little bit. Now, most lenders, you know, are going to take a couple weeks to process. So after that first 5 days of being super busy, you kind of sit around and need to be patient for a couple weeks. But here is our tip.
Oh, yeah.
Watch your emails. Yeah. Tip one, watch your emails and be ready to act quickly.
If you're not an email person, you need to be an email person now.
Yeah.
Through the contract, as soon as you have reached that mutual agreement, now it's time for you to be checking it every day.
Multiple times a day. And if you're not an email person and you obviously now know how important that is, tip number two, tell your agent and your loan officer, please help me. I'm not an email person, so that we can text you to check your email.
Yeah, because you're going to still need to be an email person.
Yes, exactly. So after the couple weeks where you're both patient and on standby, really the last 5 to 7 days before closing is super busy again for you. We have you electronically sign your final loan quote called a closing disclosure. And during that time, your agent takes you back out for a quick
walkthrough.
Yeah, the final walkthrough, the home. And then you have your signing day and then finally your closing day. So let's dive in a little deeper to the signing and closing day and what goes on during that time.
Oh, it's super busy for you as a buyer.
Yes. So the signing day is where you need to be flexible with your work schedule. And that's because you're going to be doing an in-person signing appointment with the escrow company. Now, remember the escrow company on our previous episodes, we explained how they are the middleman who handles your final signing appointment between you and the seller.
You're going to cross the T's, dot the I's.
Yep. And you're going to need your ID, and it needs to be current because you can't buy a home with expired or temporary ID. And then you need your final down payment and closing cost funds in the form of guaranteed funds. So really you have two ways to turn it in. You can bring a cashier's check payable to the escrow company, or a little easier, you just wire it to the escrow company, just like you did your earnest money deposit. And our third tip is that we want you to inquire before you wire.
Right. Escrow is going to make sure they have their whole process to make sure that you're safe.
Yes.
And so there's some steps that they're going to have you go through. And that's why Amy said inquire, because you're going to be communicating with escrow to make sure that you're sending the money to where it's supposed to go.
That's right. And then finally, you get to sign a huge stack of documents where you sign your life away for 30 years with the escrow company's notary. No, just kidding. So again, be flexible with your work schedule so that you can time that or, you know, meet with the escrow company. You know, it could be a couple hours. So we want to make sure you're flexible there.
Yeah. And then we're going to get to closing day. Okay. So now closing day, now this is super busy for you as a buyer.
Okay.
Not really. But
right.
Not really. Okay. But we're going to have a few things happening. And this is really where more Amy, escrow, so the lender, escrow, title, they're all taking care of all this stuff. They're making sure that lender funds are and wires are sent to escrow. They're making sure escrow is recording the count with the county as the new owner. Mm-hmm. And then you get your keys.
Okay, so quiz time, Kathleen. Who gives them their keys?
Well, it's of course the real estate agent.
Oh, yes. It's like the one part of your job that I'm completely jealous about. Okay, so what time of the day does the seller have in order to move out and give the keys to the new buyer?
Well, this is going to surprise people. It's actually, per the contract, they have up to 9 p.m. the day of closing. Now, that's if the buyer is the new homeowner now at that point, is taking possession that day.
Okay? So it's written in the contract?
It's in the contract.
Okay.
So sometimes we give possession dates differently because if a seller sometimes needs 2 more days, 2 weeks, there's different circumstances, but it's all agreed in the contract and you as the buyer have agreed to whatever this is. But okay, let's just say normal circumstances, it's 9 p.m. the day of closing. Now, sometimes the sellers are needing that much time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could be 8:30, 8:45 and you're seeing them scramble and it's dark out and they're trying to get everything still into their U-Haul.
So what's tip number 4 then for them?
Maybe. What is tip number 4?
Yeah,
so to make sure to not schedule the moving truck on closing day.
Oh, right, because it could be dark out.
Yeah. Now, you know, sometimes you can get your keys by 5, but mm-hmm. because the contract says 9, and the reason we say 5 is because that's when it's the closing time, and that's when you are legally recorded as the owner. And sometimes the sellers are ready by that point, and then we can get you the keys at that time.
Gotcha.
But they do have till 9, so we want to plan for the 9 o'clock.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I've moved, my husband and I and our kids have moved in the evening, and it was dark, and we had no idea. And it was so dark, you couldn't see what you were doing. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I got my keys at 9 o'clock at night, and it was mid-October, raining, cold. And we showed up, we were so super excited, and we had to wait for last minute scrambling from the listing agent to take care of a last inspection item before we took possession. And it was miserable just to sit in the car and watch them, you know, trying to get this taken care of. But there's no way we would have then turned around and moved in. So I agree on the moving truck.
Yeah, so wait till the next day.
Yes.
You know, the next day or the next weekend, however it works for you. And if you're going to schedule some time off, then you know, don't schedule it for closing day.
Right.
You know, because you're not going to be doing anything closing day. Right. And so.
Oh, so my last tip, tip number 5 is just remember the lender.
Oh, this is a big one.
Yeah. The lender is going to, before they wire the funds to the escrow company on closing day, we actually call the employers to make sure that the buyers are still employed and they haven't given notice. So don't quit your jobs.
And we're not talking employed. We're talking employed with the same employer mm-hmm. in the same position that you were in when you started the application.
That's right. Yes. So no switching employers without telling the loan officer, please.
Please don't do that.
Yeah. Don't do that. And then we also do what's called a soft pull or a soft check on your credit. So we want to make sure that you haven't gone into more debt. So basically, you want to avoid opening any new debts during the home buying process.
Don't buy your refrigerator or your washer and dryer until you're the owner, right, Amy? That's one of your biggest tips.
Yes, I can't tell you how. Yeah. Well, because I get so many calls. Amy, it's Black Friday and I can save thousands of dollars if I buy my appliances. And I totally get it because trust me, remember, I bought my house in mid-October and I knew the Black Friday was coming up and I wanted to get my order in before everybody else was.
Yeah.
But I had to wait because you never know until you get those keys in your And you just never know.
So be patient because it'll be worth it. You just don't want to change any of the underwriting circumstances, right?
Right. Like buying a new car or something like that. So just make sure your credit card balances are at or under the same amounts that they were when I initially pre-approved you.
And things do happen. If something comes up, just make sure you're communicating with your loan officer. Maybe they can work around it. But for the most part, you might just have to wait until you've closed. And it is worth it to be patient.
Absolutely.
So.
Yes. I think we are really good on our tips and everything. So, you know, normally we wrap up our episodes with our bonus question because is called Cheers to Homeownership. We always ask, hey, if you were cheersing or toasting to homeownership, what would be in your glass, cup, or mug? So, Kathleen, what would it be?
I'm so excited to talk about mine right now.
Okay.
I am hooked on this honeycomb latte that you can get at, now I went blank on the name of
Honeycomb.
Yes, it's so amazing. And I get it in Snohomish at this new coffee shop there. And now I just went blank on the name of it.
With
that red door phone thing outside.
Oh, yes. It's right by Fred Meyer and Home Depot.
Here we are talking about Snohomish, Washington.
Yeah. It's a really cool place.
It's my favorite place, Legacy Coffee.
Yeah. There you go.
So that is my new thing. That's my new cheers in my mug. You got
definitely
it.
Had me at honeycomb.
I know.
I'm a sweet girl. So I'm also a sour girl. So in my toasting, because we are switching into nice weather here, I really love a drink that is very refreshing for this time of the year. It's called a Paloma, and it is tequila and pink grapefruit.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. It is so zippy. And you just, you know, pucker at the end. It's so good. And they go down smooth. So
going to have to try that.
Well, we hope that you've found this episode helpful in understanding more about the timing involved in buying a home.
And now we want you to stay tuned because we have more episodes coming up. We have some really fun ones. I'm not going to give it away, but I can't wait to share more episodes with you.
Awesome. And so, cheers to homeownership.
Cheers, guys.